Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. As we continue in our series in Matthew, and we have made our way step by step, glorious truth by glorious truth, in the beginning of Christ's Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. And now we continue in that sermon here in chapter 6. Our focus text this morning will be verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. Hear now the very and holy word of God, written for you and for me today. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Amen. This is the very word of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of it to us. Let us go before him together in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we now hear from you in your word, as your word is preached and proclaimed, we pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and prepare them to receive the very truth of your word, that it would sit deeply and rightly within us, that we would have great joy in receiving it and diligence in applying it and walking according to it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, congregation, as Christ proclaims his kingship and kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount, as he has helpfully taught us important truth about the nature of the kingdom, its entrance requirements, and godly ethics of those who are in it through his perfect exposition of the law, he has revealed and put in stark contrast the twisted exposition of the scribes and Pharisees with that perfect exposition of his own. Christ opens his disciples' hearts and minds to know and discern truth from error. He arms us against the corrupt doctrines and opinions of men, that we may be convicted and cut to the heart, that we would repent of sin or sinful understanding and errant understanding, and walk rightly according to his deep and thorough instruction and commands in the scriptures. Now in chapter 5, Jesus shines the light, realigns our guard and our watchfulness, and mobilizes our walk in many core subjects, all of which we have found are matters of the heart that then bear fruit in life. Most recently, Christ corrected the Pharisees' teaching about love and hatred, particularly as it pertains to the Christian's duty towards our enemies. And contrary to what some may think or have been taught, we are duty-bound to love in our relationship and relation to our enemies. Now, though the love that we have towards a brother or a sister is rightly different from that extended to our enemies, we are to be clear that the love of benevolence and compassion is due to them in regards to their person. And therefore, with this charity, in love, we can and must bless them, do good to them, and pray for them as our Lord commands us. And so as Jesus continues his sermon here in chapter 6, we find that he continues to speak to the heart as he now warns his disciples of the Pharisees' corrupt practices, and in particular regarding two sins that were quite evident in them, namely hypocrisy and worldly mindedness. Hypocrisy and worldly mindedness. This morning, let's consider Jesus' warning to not do good to be seen by men in verse 1. Not doing good for the glory of men in verse 2. But rather to do good to please God in verses 3 and 4. Notice how he begins this lesson in verse 1. He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Now see how Jesus begins here with two important words. Take heed. Take heed means beware, pay attention, be cautious. In Greek, these two words are one Greek word that is an imperative in this form, or a command. It's not optional. He says, beware, be cautious. And what is this strong warning about? Not doing charitable deeds before people for the purpose of being seen by them. This was exactly what the Pharisees were doing, beloved. They were showmen. Yet the carnal man doesn't have spiritual life, we know. The natural man can't be religious except by performing outwardly for people to see. And so when they did good to others, they wanted people to see them doing so. Again, their deeds exposed the sin in their hearts. And so we see this wonderful connection and continuity in this sermon. He's not switching gears here in chapter 6. He's continuing this same heart examination, heart exposing, bringing the truth to light. Their deeds exposed the sin in their hearts, and this was what Jesus called out in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, as the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. We read in Luke 12, beginning in verse 1, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known.'" These are important words, beloved. Beware. Know what the leaven of the Pharisees is. It is hypocrisy. And as we know from the teaching of the whole counsel of God, leaven does not belong. It must be gotten out of the lump. But God was saying that it is there, but it will not stay hidden. It isn't hidden. It will be revealed. It will be made known. Here he is making it known for his disciples and all to hear and see. And as Jesus exposes them in Matthew 6, know that he isn't forbidding God's people from being charitable to others. Remember his words in chapter 5, verse 42 that we considered previously. He said, "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." So as he's already taught us about acts of mercy and kindness, here, Jesus' words in verse 1 are connected to this. It's how charity is done and what is fueling it in the heart that's in view. And what is Jesus referring to with charitable deeds? The 1599 Geneva Bible translates the word as alms. Alms or charitable deeds are any act of kindness or goodwill freely done by us for the relief of those in distress. All done in sincere love for God rather than for our own personal glory. And so, beloved, God gives us a helpful example of good and godly charity in the Scriptures. Let's look at a couple of passages. First, Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. You can turn with me there if you'd like, beginning in verse 10. We begin reading in verse 10. When you lend your brother anything, you shall not go into his house to get his pledge. You shall stand outside. And the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. And if the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. Notice verse 13. You shall in any case return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you. And it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. Paul also encouraged the saints in Corinth in God's provision, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 8. And we read there, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. You're quoting Psalm 112. And in verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. God's people are thankful and praise the Lord when we see his grace, when we see his work, when we see his blessing and provision, even in his people. And so now in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, notice how Jesus couples the warning and provides insight to the severity of the sin by revealing the consequence for not taking heed and being a showman. Notice he says, otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And that is important, isn't it? We do what we do good by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit in us. We do what we do out of love for God and out of obedience then to his commandments. But we do what we do also being thankful for the reward that he gives us by his grace and will as well. And so with the reward in view, that is an important piece of the perspective and picture that Christ is painting here. Though the Pharisees believed that their charitable deeds would gain them great reward and favor with both God and man, Christ here exposes the reward reality with hypocrisy. Chiefly that though what one does may be seen by men, there is no good reward for men noticing what you do with God. Zero. There's no reward. It's not that there would be some type of lesser reward, but hey, I'm getting some reward, right? It's not that there would be something going on there. There's nothing. If what you are doing, being fueled from your heart, is for the glory and to be in the sight of men, then there's no reward. God is not pleased with that. And therefore, this truth needs to be a strong motivation for doing good in a way that pleases the Lord. And Jesus goes on to expand his warning by giving examples, which are helpful to us. Look at verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. My friends, see that Christ teaches his mountainside disciples and us today of the correct way of doing good framed in examples of what not to do. Remember Paul's words to the saints in Rome in Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And as we talk about hypocrites and hypocrisy, it's good to ask and answer the question, what is a hypocrite? Biblically speaking, biblically defined, what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person who is a pretender and a counterfeit. They are like actors in a play. A hypocrite is a person who claims to have a relationship with God and a love for righteousness, but is both self-seeking and self-deceived. Self-seeking and self-deceived. Our confession of faith helps us with this understanding in chapter 18, section 1, as it teaches us that hypocrites and other unregenerate men vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favor of God and a state of salvation, which hope of theirs shall perish. Because it isn't true hope based on the truths and the promises of God. We know this to be true from John's words in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. When he says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And further, Paul taught the churches in Galatia, in Galatians 6, verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, my friends, a non-hypocritical expression of love is seen in service and obedience to Christ that doesn't seek the attention of men through being a trumpeter, under the pretense of calling the poor together to be served like the Pharisees did, but really then to proclaim their charity. See that the Pharisees were doing such a thing in their assemblies, Christ said, even in the synagogues, as they misled God's people, or even like a street herald. Come and receive merciful kindness. Come and I will give that to you. But really what I want you to see is my merciful kindness. How kind I am. And how merciful I am to you. It's all about me. And not about serving you with sincere love of Christ and therefore extending that love to others in a sincere heart. Again, here is the deadly twofold combination that Jesus reveals to us. Good intentionally done in the sight of men in order to receive glory from men. Things done in the sight of men. We want you to see it in order to receive glory, in order to receive praise from you. They wanted men and women to see what they did in order to praise them for what they did. The Pharisees wanted the kudos. They wanted the, wow, he's such a good man. He is so pious. He's such a religious person. And that's fantastic. Look at him type of comments. And therefore, their works were for self-service rather than self-sacrifice. Their works were for self-indulgence rather than self-discipline. Their works were for self-promotion rather than self-denial. According to action and consequence, like Christ spoke of in verse 2, we see this structure repeated here in verse 2. The hypocrites have their reward. They have the sight and praise of men. They have it. But tragically, they have their reward, that reward here, but no reward to hope for hereafter. That is the tragedy. And that is the tragedy as well, is that they weren't the only ones believing this. They were teaching others to do so as well. Solomon wisely asks in Proverbs 20, verse 6. He says, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" Solomon wisely says, faithful men are more rare than hypocrites and unfaithful men. Who can find a faithful man? For a faithful man seeks what, beloved? Whatever he does, he seeks to do all to the glory of God. Not him. For the faithful man, he must decrease, and Christ must increase. All to the glory of God. And so this then moves us beautifully into the truth of verse 3. He says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Here's the path forward, beloved. Here's the remedy away from the temptation of hypocrisy. And what do these words mean? We may have heard this type of statement, right? The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, and we may have heard it in a different context. Even somewhat of a disconnected, dysfunctional type of context, maybe in a work setting, or maybe even in a team setting, or some other type of group setting where it's like, yeah, it's not really good productivity going on here because the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. The body is acting dysfunctionally because it's not acting in unity. The connections are misfiring. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing and vice versa. But that's not what Jesus is referring to here. Jesus is referring to doing our charitable deeds in secret. And when done in secret, it would be like our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing. Announcements aren't being made. It's being done quietly. We don't seek to keep records. We don't seek to keep a tally of what we've done. And this is what Jesus goes on to say in verse 4. "That your charitable deeds may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." And this verse is such a rich and a packed verse. Don't miss that. According to Jesus in this chapter, it's what we do in secret that matters most. Take note that being charitable in secret is just the first of three practices that Jesus speaks to in this chapter. The others being prayer and fasting that we're going to consider in the coming weeks. In Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 12, Jesus told a parable about a wedding feast. And in this parable, he speaks to the reward from the Lord. Listen to what he says, beginning in verse 12. "Then he also said to him who invited him, 'When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind.'" And notice verse 14. "And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Notice the focus that is in view there. The Lord who sees all and knows all sees what people can't. He sees the hidden things of the heart. He sees what's done quietly in private, what is done in darkness, what is done behind closed doors, or those things that are unannounced. He sees those things. It's not as if we have to go and open some kind of door to say, oh, I've done this thing. Oh, here, Lord, let me open this door so that you can now examine it or see it. No, no, no. He sees everything. He knows the heart and the heart motives. He knows what's fueling our hearts. And if you consider it, as you think about the God who sees and knows in secret, this truth is a terror to hypocrites, but a great comfort to sincere Christians. He rewards those with humble hearts and sincere faith who carry out acts of kindness and obedience in love. For the sincere help and the benefit of those in need, all done in a way that all glory goes to Him and none to themselves. Wonderfully, again, concerning action and reward here, beloved, obedience in secret is met, notice, with open and even eternal reward by God Himself. Notice the reward that is given when done in the sight and for the glory of man. The reward comes from man, but not from God. He's not pleased with such things. But this comes from God Himself openly, as He openly lavishes the riches of His grace and His blessings upon His faithful people in such a way. Indeed, open and eternal reward. Be encouraged and comforted, and even have joy in your heart considering the truths of Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Ah, yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for this wonderful truth about our God, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The great work of Christ, the great work of His Spirit in our hearts and lives, and the great blessings and reward of our God to His people. Beautiful. And so, beloved, consider this as you think about this passage and these verses. The Christian life must flow out of a fervent love for God. As an authentic Christian, your doing good to others must be done to please God and not man, from a heart and in a manner that truly pleases the Lord. And He lays this out in His Word and tells you what that looks like. Do it to please Him and not them. Do it for His glory and not yours. The religion of Christ brings men to God. This is what is true of authentic Christianity. It brings men to God. False religion brings men to themselves. And therefore, don't serve God in order to gratify and please self. Think about this for a moment. Why do you serve the Lord? Why do you serve the Lord? Is this kind of gratification? Why? Is the gratification of self? Why? Do you do good things or even merciful things and kind things to others because you get an earthly reward? Do you think that you're God's greatest gift to mankind? Do you serve the Lord to get compliments from people around you? Is that your goal? Do you do something or give something and are offended if you're not praised for what you've done? Do you do charitable things to boost how you feel about yourself? Do you come to church to be seen by other people? If your Christian life is a mere performance, then people will praise you and reward you, but you'll be no different than the Pharisees in that regard. You are receiving the reward of men. However, you can deceive men, but you can't deceive God. He knows your heart. He sees in secret. He sees what's done in public for all the reasons and motivations that they're done by. And so what is true in your heart? If the answers to questions like these are, yes, that's true of me, I pray, beloved, repent and turn to Christ. Repent of such things. Because it's not about you. It must never be about you. It must be all about Him. Repent and turn to Jesus. Call upon Him to give you grace and godly zeal that puts the fuel of pride and selfishness to death in your heart, and rather fuels your motives behind the kind and merciful things that you do with love and humility. The actor's masks are put off, and you see, like Paul did, that they're all worthless. All of his pedigree, all of Paul's resume, the Pharisees of the Pharisees, it's all dung. His desire was to gain Christ. Putting the masks off, though, can be more challenging than we would think or maybe desire it to be sometimes. Because the locks and the anchors of self run deeper and harder to kill. And if you glorify God as you walk the authentic Christian life in growing love and obedience to Christ, and therefore in quiet, compassionate sincerity to those that you seek to serve with mercy and kindness, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Be content, beloved, to have God as your only witness. Be content to have God as your only witness. And in doing so, you will receive an open and blessed and eternal reward from your Lord. As He is pleased with such things, with such obedience and faithfulness. Praise God for His word. Let's pray together.